When Moses was born, there was a law in Egypt that all the male children should be killed. But in the wonderful sovereignty of God, God put a little idea into the head of Moses' mother. Let's somehow save this child. Put it into a basket and put it in the river Nile, which is full of crocodiles, and pray to God to somehow protect this child, because otherwise the Roman soldier is going to come and kill the child in any case, and pray that some Egyptian will pick up the child. And this woman, Moses' mother, did it because God had a tremendous plan for this little baby Moses. And Hebrews 11, it says, it was the faith of Moses' parents that made them do it. When they saw that child, they somehow felt God has got a plan for this child. We can't let it be killed. We can't let the Roman soldiers come and kill it. You know, that's the attitude every person should have towards their child. I want to ask all of you sitting here, do you look at all of your children that way? No matter how many children you have? Do you feel, oh, I have too many children? Really? Which one do you want to be killed? Tell me. Which one do you want to get rid of? So many people want to get rid of their child when it's a baby or in the womb. I said, just hang on, wait till it grows up 5 or 6 years old, then decide whether you want to kill it or not. You'll change your mind. Moses' mother didn't want that child to be killed. It says in Hebrews 11, she saw it as a good child. Every child is a good child. And so God protected that child, and God had a plan, and Pharaoh's daughter came to the bathing place and saw the baby. It's all sovereignty of God, and allowed the crocodiles. God kept the crocodiles away. It's amazing how God protects those who He has a plan for. And I want to tell you, all of us are alive today because God's got a plan for your life and mine. Don't think it is because of your cleverness or some doctor treated you. It's all rubbish. God has a plan for your life. Otherwise, you and I would be dead long ago. I know for that. I don't know how many scooter accidents I've been saved from in the 42 years I rode scooters in this city. A lot of angels will tell me that when I go to heaven. They show me the videos and they say, do you know you're going to have an accident here? And I was there. I said, oh, I didn't even know that. But I know there were many things like that, I believe, with all my heart. And same with you, even if you don't ride scooters. Many, many accidents and things God has saved you and me from. It's not our cleverness. I want to tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, it is because God has a plan for your life. But as Moses grew up and he got educated in Egypt's palaces, and he was rich, educated and powerful, strong, muscular, great preacher. It says that in Acts 7, he was very powerful in speaking. He could not serve God at the age of 40 because of one reason, only one. He had position, just like Lucifer or the head of the angels. He had position, education, power, wisdom, wealth, but he lacked humility. And God says he can never be the leader of my people if he doesn't have this. He was the most qualified person in Egypt, but he was not fit to lead God's people. And I want to say to you, that's the problem with many Christians who are in leadership today. They lack the number one quality for leadership, humility. They got Bible knowledge, they've gone to seminaries, they've got degrees, so many degrees after their name. They are very capable speakers, but they lack humility. And God says no. He said no to Moses. And he'll say no to you, no matter what qualifications you have, Bible knowledge, whatever it is. And God said, I've got to humble this man. Otherwise, I'll never be able to use him. I've got a plan for his life. And what does God do? God allows Moses to get angry at an Egyptian he saw hitting a Hebrew, and he went and hit that fellow with one blow and killed him. See how strong he was? One blow on the Egyptian's face and he died. And the news went round that Moses has killed an Egyptian. And Pharaoh heard of it and he had to run for his life. And in the sovereignty of God, he lands up in a place to drink water, and one local heathen priest, his daughters have come there to feed their flock. And some people come to fight with those women, and Moses protects those women, and they went and tell their father, this man protected us. So that priest calls Moses home. And that's how he gets his food, and he marries the daughter of one of those, that heathen priest who's not a Jew. And not only that, he had to live supported by that man, this great prince of Egypt. God is doing a work in humbling him. Live in a desert. Get rid of your idea of a prince and be a servant of a heathen priest. Marry his daughter and live here. Not for 1 year. I mean, to live in your father-in-law's house even for 6 months will be a torture for most people. Live in your father-in-law's house for 40 years. That's enough to humble anybody. And that is how God broke the man who was to be the greatest prophet that Israel had. That's how he was fed. His heart was lifted up. Remember those words? His heart was lifted up. Moses, I'm the leader. I'm 40 years old. I'm muscular. I can speak well. I've got such influence. I can deliver the Israelites. Sure, with my influence, I'll do it. God says, you don't know. He broke him so much so that at the burning bush, when God met with Moses and said, God said, you're going to deliver my people. You know what he says? Lord, I can't speak. You know, Acts chapter 7 says he was a powerful speaker when he was 40. What happened in the next 40 years? God humbled him so much that he said, Lord, I don't know how to speak. Please send somebody else. I can't speak. And kept on saying that. It was not artificial humility. He really felt, I am incapable of doing this job. And I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, it is when you come to that place that you have understood humility. I am incapable of doing this job of being a witness for Christ. I'm incapable of overcoming sin. I say that to myself. I'm incapable of being an elder. The day I think I'm capable, I'm doomed. I will never feel like that. I'm totally incapable of being an elder. How in the world can I take this responsibility of God's work, of all things? Then God said to him, now you're ready. Now go and I'll be with you. And he did the greatest deliverance and led those Israelites through the wilderness for 40 years. Another example, before Moses was Jacob. He was a crook the time he was born. Always grabbing. He grabbed his brother's leg. He was a twin. He was a twin who wanted to come out of his mother's womb first. And they were struggling inside Rebekah's womb. And somehow Esau pushed his way out. And Jacob grabbed his leg and said, hey, I want to get out first. And I don't think there's ever been a twin birth like that, where one twin comes out holding the leg of the other. That's unique, you know. And so they saw that and they named him Grabber, Jacob. That's what it means. And then he grabbed his brother's birthright. And then through a lot of shrewdness, he tried to grab his uncle's daughter, Rachel. But his uncle was greater crook than him and gave him his older daughter. And I finally ended up with two wives. And then he, with his crooked ways, grabbed his uncle's sheep and property. He was a grabber, till one day, it says, God broke his hip joint and he couldn't walk. He was like a 25-year-old man walking with a cane. He was older than 25, but because of the age those days, it's equivalent to a 25-year-old today walking with a cane. Can you see a 25-year-old? Have you ever seen a 25-year-old young man walking with a cane? It's pretty humbling. It really is. Any of you who are 25 years old, think of how you'll feel walking with a cane. I feel it's pretty humbling for me at the age of 80 to walk with a cane. Leave alone 25 years old and how God said, you got to walk with a cane. And Hebrews 11 says, he worshipped God leaning upon his cane. That cane that he leaned upon was a picture of I got to lean upon God all my life. And if you've learned that lesson, you've learned it. And God broke him. And then he told Jacob, now you are Israel, a prince of God. Till now you tried to grab. You could not become a prince that way. So what is the lesson even in the Old Testament? What is God trying to do with man in order to accomplish his purpose? Break that pride, self-sufficiency, who you think you are. People who live like that ultimately destroy themselves, never fulfill God's purpose for their life, and usually end up in hell. Along with the first person who said, whose heart was lifted up. The person whose heart was lifted up first is in hell, will be in the lake of fire eternally. And all those whose hearts are lifted up like that will join him, that is for sure. Call yourself Christian, call yourself born again, call yourself whatever you like. Have this attitude in yourself which is in Christ Jesus, which is the root of salvation. Learn from me, he says, learn gentleness and humility. Let God break you.